beginning of the New Testament, chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 625 through 75. And you'll see that just before our reading today, Matthew has recounted Jesus telling us to store up our treasures in heaven. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which are here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, do not worry by saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I start today with a quote by a man named Francis Chan, who is a megachurch pastor in California who realized that he wasn't called to be a megachurch pastor. And he ended up leaving to become a teaching pastor without a church. But he started out with a scripture, and the scripture lesson that he came up with convicted him. And he has this mantra. He says, when I come to a scripture that I think is wrong or lacking, I start with the assumption that I'm wrong. So as I look at scripture, I try to look at it under that understanding. Francis Chan says, you know, we've been studying the scripture for 4,000 years. If you really think you found something new, you probably found something that is irrelevant or not part of the bigger picture. One of the things that I struggled with in seminary was these numbers. We all know what John 3:16 is, don't we? It's the sign they hold up in the end zone. And it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Problem is the numbers were not there. Jesus didn't say. Now remember John 3:16. John, write this down. Chapter 3, 16th verse. The verses aren't there. They're not there in the Old Testament at all. They didn't enter the New Testament for like 1,000 years after they were said. So you got to be careful as you read the scripture to understand what's going on. I think I threw Steve off a little bit this week when I ran over from 6 into 7. But one of the things that you look at is you look for things like, and then he went away to a place by himself. Or they continue down the road down to Capernaum. You look for a transition from teaching to teaching, and here there isn't one. The teaching just keeps going. As Juliana pointed out, there's the treasure in heaven teaching, and then it goes into this teaching, and then it goes further on, and actually goes after this into ask and it will be given unto you is the next piece. So this teaching draws together. So as I'm looking at it, I am wondering what is going on. Therefore, don't worry about what you will eat or what you drink or what you will wear. And it goes on to say, judge not lest ye be judged. It sounds like there's a little bit of covetousness or envy here. People are looking at people who have more and wondering, why don't I have that? Maybe even, why don't I have that? I'm a better person than they are. Shouldn't I have the good stuff? And then we get to the Francis Chan moment. If that is what you're thinking, maybe you don't understand what the scripture is saying. And Jesus goes on to begin to talk about the lilies of the field, which are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, yet Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Again, the object of the lesson is not to be clothed like Solomon. It's that how you're clothed isn't the ultimate goal. So what is Jesus getting at in this moment, I think, is all focused in, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. It does not say, and force your neighbor to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto them. Jesus somehow wants us working on ourselves. Well, I don't know what your life looks like, but quite often mine looks like this illustration I have on the table. My to-do list doesn't quite fit the time and places that I have for it to be. I seem overwhelmed. I wonder what it is that I'm supposed to do because it won't fit together. But if I'm honest, I kind of just take life as it comes and I kind of crisis manage on the fly. Anybody else find themselves there? You see, but that is the essence of the debate. The essence of the understanding is, what did you start out trying to do? One of my favorite prayers is, Almighty God, I give you thanks. Today I have not spoken your name in vain. I have not coveted it. I have not stolen. I have not bared false witness. I have not sinned in any way. But I've got to get out of bed now. and I'm going to need your help. Too often we get up, we roll out of bed, and we just start flying. We start juggling. We start grabbing the pieces. We start trying to manage as best we can, but we don't necessarily seek first the kingdom of God. This is a study in patience and a study in discipline. And what I would like to show you is an illustration of how it's supposed to work. What I have are all my important things that I'm trying to do and that I want to do. And the walnuts are the things that God wants me to do, the important things in my world that make life worth living. As you can see, I can't fit all the walnuts into my jar because it's full up with stuff. The stuff seemed to get in there before I was ready. But what if we put in the things that are important first? What if we seek first the kingdom of God? Well, then, won't the things of life just overwhelm us and flow out everywhere? Or will the things that went in first make way for the things of the world once the things of God are where they ought to be? And then I borrow from Timothy Keller. And then he says, so now your life is packed. And there's no room for anything, is there? And then the even finer stuff falls through, sifts in, and finds its place. It's not a matter of volume. It's not a matter of time and space. It is a matter of priority. It's a matter of what goodness allows things to take their proper spot, to be in their proper place and be properly understood. I really think that these pieces go together very well. We worry about what we're going to eat and drink. We worry about what we'll wear. We don't put first the kingdom of God. We judge others by what they are doing. We covet what others have. And we want to fix other people before we fix ourselves. And Jesus says, take the plank of your own eye and you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye, because everything will be in place again. You see the world differently when your life is in balance. You understand what it is that God is calling you to do when you put him first. One of the things that I laugh at is how the things that you think are silly and trite when you're young become very profound and bold as you get older. There are two finite things in this world. There's time and there's money. And when you're young, money seems so much more important than time. As you get older, time becomes so much more important than money. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the money is enough and the time is enough. If you don't put the kingdom of God first, there's not enough money and there's not enough time. So as we look at this scripture and as we understand what it is that we're being asked to do, if we really want to help others, we have to seek the kingdom of God first in our lives. And then our eyes will become clear. And we'll see how it is that we're to reach out to those around us. How it is that we're supposed to be disciples, and how we can then remove the speck from our brother's eyes. Could you pray with me? Lord, this is the world that you made, and yet in its fallenness, sometimes it tries to change the way we keep score. It causes us to look at others rather than ourselves. It causes us to look at the challenges rather than the gifts. And it causes us to be distracted by the things of this world and forget the things of your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that you can add things to us in the proper space and the proper time. Help us to understand that it is the secret to being a disciple. That as we seek you first, we'll be prepared for what comes after, because the right things will be in the jar first. Help us all. And all God's people said,